I'm in my room. My computer is on in front of me. I've got my microphone set up. There's a notepad open with some notes about my podcast. It's Time to Rewind. It looks like they're on the 19th scene of Memento that starts in color at 44 minutes and 57 seconds, with Leonard holding a mostly empty bottle of wine, wondering if he's drunk, and ends at 47 minutes and 49 seconds, with Leonard, wet and exhausted, passing out on a hotel bed. There's also a Skype window open. Oh, hang on. Who is this?
Hi, Bubba Weed, it's me, Eric, your co-host.
Oh, of course. And who is this?
This is Nick Rehack, man. We've met virtually like a myriad of times.
Oh, of course. I seem to have forgotten. But it's good to have you both back for another scene. And this is honestly one of the most fun scenes in this movie. I think this is my second favorite scene in this movie. And, you know, I feel like we as an audience know that this scene is going to end with Dodd in the closet, and we might not know what the bottle was intended to be used for, but we do know that Dodd is going to enter the scene at some point. And so there's this kind of dramatic tension that builds, especially as Leonard gets into this, he forgets what he's doing and he starts to take a shower because, I mean, why wouldn't he? He's been wearing somebody else's clothes for a day or two by this point. So I would imagine that he smells a little ripe and even like it accentuates, like it gets set off with him literally smelling himself.
Yeah, he's usually much more observant and careful when he first steps out of it. Here, he kind of just gets right into the shower. He doesn't know the last time he showered, which is a terrible consequence of his condition, by the way. he could be showering 20 times a day, or he could never shower, or anywhere in between. But, you know, he does do the sort of the trope, the smelling the armpit, and, I guess he's like, oh, this is kind of gross. I better get in the shower, but it's just, it's not, and to your point about us as the audience, we know what's coming. You're now like, oh man, is Dodd going to show up while he's in the shower? This is going to be an interesting scene. Leonard, why are you not more careful like you usually have been?
You know, what I also noticed is that with the way that the towel and the wash rag is hung up, it's, you can tell that they had been used. Like they're not freshly folded from like the motel cleaning service.
Oh, so this is a towel that Dodd used. Oh, nasty.
And jumping back a little bit, it just the fact that he's starting off in this moment in time, holding this nearly empty bottle of wine, and it starts off with him saying, "I don't feel drunk," which I think is a funny line in and of itself, but it also makes sense that, you know, he sees himself, you know, he kind of wakes up out of his, memory haze, his lack of focus, and he thinks, you know, his first instinct is, you know, he's holding a nearly empty bottle of wine. Did he just drink this all himself? I mean, he's alone, and he takes a moment to kind of gauge his own physical state to try and understand where he's at mentally and physically.
I would hope that someone with his condition would swear off alcohol. You know, so, you know, the whole thing of I don't feel drunk, I would hope that he would simply just never have a drink, because it would make everything just so much worse to ever get drunk with his condition.
Yeah, I think that that would potentially make things worse, although, you know, he might get to a point at one point. There's always the danger that he could fall into depression with this condition, and that could lead him into drinking, or just, he could even think, drinking makes you black out and forget what you did, you know, and maybe it's cartoon logic, you know, getting hit on the head will regain your memory, so maybe getting blackout drunk will help fix my brain issue. And I also like this moment of him checking out his scratches in the mirror, because he's had these two scratches on his face the entire in the color scenes the entire time. And this is the first time that he's really kind of called attention to it, as he just kind of briefly checks out the scratches for a moment.
And he seems to be, I don't want to necessarily say unconcerned about it, but it's more of just like a, okay. And then off he goes. He doesn't really question. At least there's no external monologue of like, what happened? What's going on? This, that, and the other. It's just like, okay, I guess what else is new? And then he just goes on and showers. Or he just gets himself wet, because at no point do you see him like soap up or anything.
Yeah, honestly, I can relate to that, because, I'm a technician at an arcade, and so I do a lot of, physical work with a lot. We have kiddie rides that have gears and motors and a lot of sharp edges. And there have been many times, not usually my face, but I will look at my arms and I will see like this giant scratch on my arm, and I'll just look at myself. I'll just look at it and I'll go, I wonder how that happened.
I get that all the time.
Oh, sure. I mean, there'll be times I'll see a bruise on my leg and I'll say, when did I bump into something? I don't remember this. Sure.
You don't really care how the bruise got there, how the cut got there. You're just like, well, if anybody asks, I'm going to assume this happened.
I fell down some stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And while he's taking this shower, it is very intentional and purposeful that the camera is staying in the shower with Leonard. We do hear the door open, but we don't, like, the camera doesn't cut to the door showing us that it's Dodd. We just hear the noise, and we stay here with Leonard. The only time that we see Dodd is whenever Leonard sees Dodd, and when he opens the shower door.
Which, this scene always confuses me, and maybe you guys can shed some light on it for me. When Dodd's coming in, he doesn't hear the water to the shower being cut off. He just goes in, uses the bathroom, and then decides to get curious. He doesn't see the clothes on the floor. He doesn't hear any of these noises. He doesn't feel the moisture and humidity in the air. That always kind of bothered me about the scene. It's like, how would you not know what's going on in the bathroom?
Yeah, I had the same note, Nick. It's strange, unless he just had to piss so badly. I don't know what the other explanation is.
I mean, I can maybe see, like, there's hotel staff in there cleaning, and he kind of walks in there while they're still doing their thing, because it does happen. Like, as soon as the fight kind of kicks off, there is someone from the hotel staff knocking and like, hey, housekeeping, want to change stuff out? And they're just like, oh, no, come back later. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. But maybe you're right, Eric. Maybe he just had to go that bad.
Yeah, I do think, like, I could see him not hearing the water because the bathroom door is closed, and Leonard turns the water off as soon as he hears the door open. And so by the time that Dodd gets closer, there would just be like a little bit of dripping. But yeah, I think it's hard for him to overlook the clothes on the ground, especially the fact that these clothes match what Leonard was wearing. I know guys get a lot of crap for not paying attention to, their significant other's clothes and what they're wearing. But I think someone he's actively chasing, he might remember that a little bit better and see these clothes on the ground that are clearly not his.
Well, and also just, I mean, he opens the shower door, so he obviously says, I think someone's in there, and he opens it in a way that allows Leonard to get the jump on him when he really should be the one getting the jump on Leonard. Like, he should be opening that door in a way that he's would be able to keep the door between himself and whoever's in there. He should be standing to the side, opening it up, just like peeking around and like in a defensive position. And instead he just opens it up in a way that allows Leonard to immediately jump right out at him. So it's a very strange scene. The guy was just involved in this chase out on the street, and he's not at all acting like somebody who should be suspicious of what the hell's going on here. I mean, not that he would necessarily expect that Leonard would be the person in his hotel room specifically, but you'd think he'd be in a heightened state of awareness and he's acting kind of dumb.
Yeah, and especially since, you know, later in the movie, whenever we get a little bit more information about Dodd, you know, we get the impression, or at least I get the impression, that Dodd is, like, one step above Jimmy. But the way he acts, it feels like he's one step below Jimmy.
Yeah, but Dodd is not the brains of any operation, that's for sure.
Right. But then we do get this fantastic, you know, it's this great naked, wet, squeaky, dirty fight.
It's like something out of Eastern Promises.
Yeah, and I also like that I think a lot of Leonard, you know, a lot of his benefit is luck, almost more than skill. Because we see that he, you know, he just happens to grab the bottle and knock him out. And whenever he sees him face down, you see that he was reaching for the gun. So if Leonard was like 2 seconds later, or then Dodd would have pulled the gun out and would have been shooting at him.
I just was like, I like the restraint of the use of the bottle. Usually in movies, when someone hits someone with a bottle, the bottle breaks. And I like the restraint in this movie of doing it differently and having the bottle not break and instead being more like a club.
Yeah, they do the same thing in the Punisher short fan film Dirty Laundry that they brought back Thomas Jane for that, and it was produced by Adi Shankar, and it's the same kind of thing where he does this entire fight with a bottle of whiskey. And the bottle never breaks through the entire fight. One note that I did kind of skip over, which I think is worth mentioning, is, like, whenever we're in the shower with Leonard and he hears the door open, it's almost like it flips a switch and Leonard becomes, I haven't really brought this up, but whenever you kind of take a step back and think about Leonard as a whole through the story and, you know, his exploits with Teddy before this movie, it's almost like he's practically the memory killer. And you kind of see him go into this, you know, emotionless, ready to kill somebody mode.
Almost like he's a super soldier and has been activated.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think he's really lucky too in that he doesn't really slip and fall on the floor despite being wet or being slick. I think it's another thing to your point of him being lucky when it comes to certain things in the fight and in general, but particularly the fight.
Yeah. And then again, we get that little bit of humor with the housekeeping at the door. And then we get the brief butt shot for the ladies. And then it's him kind of scrambling. You know, he goes into reactive mode where he is doing what he needs to do while also still trying to figure out what's going on and what he needs to do. And he, you know, he finds the duct tape and he ties Dodd up. He grabs his camera. He takes the picture and then he looks through his Polaroids and finds this note, there is a ton of information packed into this tiny little note.
I have become very adept over the years of getting a lot of info on a post-it note, so I appreciate this movie cramming all that info in on that little piece of paper.
Yeah, we got Dodd's name, we have Teddy's name, we've got the room number, the inn, the name of the inn, what he needs to do, and even Natalie's address on there. And yet because of Leonard's condition and the way that he has practiced himself to do things, he takes that note and he boils it down even more for the note on the back of the Polaroid. So it just says, "Get rid of him, ask Natalie."
Well, I just, you know, this gets into a point that we are, based on the order that we're recording these episodes, either we will make or we already have made. The unreliability of his own notes, right? He's looking at this note, and what is the key thing he's taking from this? Do this for Natalie. Yet at this exact moment, he has no idea who Natalie is. He doesn't remember who she is. He just knows for some reason in the past, he knows he met someone named Natalie who told him to get rid of this guy and he agreed to do it. And so he unquestionably puts that down there. And it's because he sees his handwriting, so he's trusting past self. And oh boy, this is, as we'll find out eventually, yeah, that's a major blunder.
Yes, very much so. And then after that, he goes into a different type of mode. He goes into, like, I'm setting things up for future Leonard. And this is where, you know, he calls Teddy, he puts the gun in the Bible drawer where he knows that he'll find it a little bit later. And he thinks about, that also includes, you know, taking the Polaroid, writing the note. All of this is setting future Leonard up for all the information that he thinks that he needs. And then he has this moment of, you know, he's done everything that he's able to do, and so now he can give himself a little bit of downtime. And I also love just the little moment of him spiking his wet hair up.
Moment for the ladies of the scene.
My other problem with this scene, outside of the just being kind of oblivious to the shower stuff going on, how do you just fall asleep after that? I mean, I'm sure they cut it for time, and it probably took longer for him to fall asleep than anticipated. But it's like the adrenaline should be so high; he should be like pacing and walking around by the time that Teddy shows up. But he's just like, "No, I'm gonna take five." And that.
Well, I mean, he left a message for Teddy, so we don't know exactly how long.
Fair point. Yep.
It takes for Teddy to get there. Because, there's definitely a bit of a time jump, but we don't know how much of a time jump because he does fall asleep. And it, also, if you kind of take a step back and think about the context of, the scenes that come by later, which happened previously, that he didn't get a lot of sleep the previous night because that's, the previous night was the night with the escort. And he only got like a couple hours of sleep before, she slammed the door, woke him up. And then he collected his wife's stuff and stayed up the rest of the night, burning his wife's things. And he hasn't really gotten a full night's sleep.
Yes, he's probably running a fumes at a point. That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Yeah. And that's really all I have for this scene. Do either of you have anything else?
Not me.
Is it me, and maybe it's the lighting, I feel like his suit was tan, and all of a sudden it's like an olive or a gray. Is that just a meme thing?
Yeah, I think it's just either the lighting or you. Like I don't notice too much of a difference, and I think with the budget of this movie, I don't think that they probably had multiple suits. They probably just had the one suit.
That's probably true. That was my only thing. I just confused by the colors, but upward and onward.
All right. Well, once again, thank you, Nick, for joining us this week. And why don't you go ahead and take a moment to let everybody know where else they can find you online.
For sure. Howard Kasner has an outstanding podcast called Pop Art. I was a guest previously, and we discussed The Shining and The Innkeepers. And recently, he was kind enough to invite me back, and we discussed Looper and Predestination. It was a lot of fun, so get a chance, go check out Pop Art.
Yeah, and I have Looper on my big list. I'm not sure when I'm going to cover it, but I will cover that movie at some point in time in the future. And thank you, as always, Eric, for joining me this season as my co-host.
You're welcome.
And as always, I am Bubba Wheat, and you can find me on Twitter where I'm at Bubba Wheat. You can find this show, It's Time to Rewind, on anchor.fm, as well as anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. We also have a Facebook group, It's Time to Rewind, a time loop group. You can join that and discuss episodes as they come out, as well as have discussions about time loop movies and TV shows in general. And by the way, have I told you about Memento?
Only every single time I see you.
I don't feel drunk.